I'd like to start with a scripture in Hebrews. Have you ever looked at the preface to the book of Hebrews? I always thought Paul was the writer. And I looked just a while ago and it said it's not certain who the writer is. Said it in the past, it's been given to them. But if you have the preface, see what you notice in yours. Here's what it says in mine. It says that these were some difficult times for Jewish believers. It said those that had stepped out of Judaism into Christianity, some were wanting to reverse their course in order to escape persecution by their countrymen. What a time that would be, that your Jewish people around you were the ones that are giving you persecution for accepting Christ. So where I want to start this afternoon is Hebrews 10 and 23. If this was Paul, it's easiest for me to say it was Paul because that's what I've thought it always was. But whoever it was talking to them in Hebrews 10 and 23, it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He is faithful that promised." You know, now as we read the preface to the book, and then we start seeing this encouragement to them, we start understanding a little bit more. We need to hold fast the profession of our faith. Goes on down in 32nd verse. "Call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and ye took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." Yeah, it's a little interesting now after I read the preface to Hebrews that this was a group of people that had accepted Christ and his teachings and Christianity, and now they're getting persecuted for it. And it's saying, you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. The trouble that came to you by those around you, you took it joyfully. Knowing in yourselves, you know, we've been hearing about heaven and how beautiful it's going to be. You know what it helped them to do? Was take the troubles that came to them, knowing that they have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So in other words, he's saying, don't let it come to you as a surprise that you're going to have trouble come to you. What does it say? They that live godly, they're going to suffer some persecution. And I was thinking of a verse, 1 Peter 4 and 1. "For as much as Christ suffered for us in the flesh..." Does it say he did it so that you won't never have to do it yourself? It says, "Arm yourselves likewise." In other words, prepare yourselves. There will be some trouble come to you also. And I thought about Paul. You remember whenever Ananias was told to go pray for him? And Jesus tells Ananias, "Paul is a chosen vessel. I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for me." And he did suffer. But what I like about that is Paul said, with all these things that are happening to me, none of these things move me. I've got a goal set. I'm determined to go. And so these adverse times that come to me, they're not going to turn me around. And when he looked at it all, he said, "Our light afflictions, which are but for a moment..." I think it's real good for us, the difficult times that we're going in. You know, we have a pretty big list of people with some serious afflictions right now that we're praying for. And it would seem like, you know what, Lord, you could just come down and touch every one of them and they would be instantly well. But you know what this says? If we could just get a view of heaven out ahead, we would see that no matter what we have to go through in this life, it's just a light affliction. And it's just for a moment. You know what? For me to feel like the troubles we go through are just for a moment, it's because I got a glimpse of eternity. And it will never end. If I'll be faithful to the Lord, make heaven my home, this is going to seem like a very light affliction, whatever I had to go through in this life. So if I could put a title to what I want to talk about this afternoon, is in the next verse in Hebrews. Cast not away your confidence. So what he's telling these people is, it's true, you're going through a lot of difficult times because of your belief in Christ right now. But do not throw it aside. Hold on to it. It's in 10 and 35 of Hebrews. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. There is a reward for you holding on to your confidence in God. There's a great reward for us. I was looking in the commentary on that. It says, your boldness, referring to confident hope in God. Don't be discouraged. Bear up under all trials and maintain a steadfast adherence to God and His cause. Nothing can take it from them if they trusted in God, and it could only be lost by their own neglect. You know what? All the persecutions that they were having come to them could not cause them to lose it, could not cause them to cast it away. It would be their own neglect that would do it. Singing of the definition of confidence, that in which our trust is placed. What we have an assurance of safety from, confidence. And it says also in the commentary, this has a reference, don't cast away your confidence. It says this has a reference to cowardly soldiers who would throw away their shields and run from the battle. It said there were mothers back then that would present the shield to their son before going into the battle, and they would say this, either bring this back or be brought back on it. Don't throw away your shield. You know, if you were going to flee from a battle, a shield is a bulky thing to carry. In fact, it's probably not going to be carried. It'll be the first thing that you throw aside. Cast not away your confidence. I'd like for us to look at a verse in Ephesians 6 chapter. We read this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Letting us know, you know what, you're going to have to put on some armor to be able to make it. But I liked how this verse says in the 16th, after all the things that it was telling us that you needed, it says, above all, the most important thing out of all the weapon that you'll have there is taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, a large shield would be more valuable to you if you're not going to throw it away. Yes. If you're not going to retreat. If you're going to retreat, a large shield is a hindrance to you. You know how we can build our shield and make it bigger? Jude 1 and 20 says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. It is possible for us to build the shield of faith. The shield, what does it say its purpose is? To be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, the darts that the devil would throw at us, is it something that, you know, we just kind of think of temporal darts? Hit you in the arm or hit you in the leg. You know what? Where that penetration is the most valuable to Satan today is in our mind. And the shield that we can have, this shield of faith, is intended to be able to deflect that. I would like for us to sing a song here. It's number 316. To me, this kind of tells us the value of this shield of faith. Take the shield of faith, my brother. Hold it boldly in the light, and its awful burnished glory will put every foe to flight. In the mighty name of Jesus, ever lift up the shield of faith. the sword of truth, my brother. Heaven will crown thy fight of faith. Faith is mighty and will conquer. Bind it firmly on thy heart, on the hottest field of battle. Thou shalt quench the vilest dart. In the mighty name of Jesus, ever lift up the shield of faith. Wield the sword of truth, my brother. Heaven will crown thy fight of faith. And when trouble specters round thee come, thy spirit to depress, lift the shield of faith abounding, and thy soul shall calmly rest. In the mighty name of Jesus, ever lift up the shield of faith. Wield the sword of truth, my brother. Heaven will crown thy fight of faith. Then put on the holy armor and defy the tempting throng. Over all the foes that gather, shout and sing the victor's song. In the mighty name of Jesus, ever lift up the shield of faith. Wield the sword of truth, my brother. Heaven will crown thy fight of faith. The most important piece of the armor, it says, is the shield of faith. You know, it tells us in Hebrews 11, it's the faith chapter. And what does it tell us in 11 and 6? Why is it that this piece of armor is the most important? In 11 and 6, it says, without faith, it's going to be impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And it goes on down in that same chapter in the third verse. Through faith, the value of faith, through faith we understand. There's some things that we understand that the world around us is spending billions of dollars trying to figure out. Through faith we understand how the worlds were framed. It was just by the word of God that it came into existence. And you know what? Faith makes it just as strong to us. I believe it, and that settles it for me. When scientists are telling us about the Big Bang Theory and evolution, all I need to do is just see Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. So what is the value of faith? It is very valuable for me to be able to just, I believe God. And what it also does is it gives us a confidence in God's ability. You know what? We can say, I have a confidence that God can heal any problem that I have. You know what that faith also does? It gives me a confidence in his wisdom. Because it helps me to realize I cannot see into the next minute. And I'm asking him, I want to go to heaven. Had I the choosing of my pathway in blindness, I'd go astray. Every one of us would have. You know, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding.
Yes.
What if God would tell us all, you just tell me what you want and I'll give it to you? What would we get? I would never have a negative thing in my life. But it also says, nor would we reach the land of endless day. So God's got a plan for us. And what this faith does, the shield of faith, is to building up our faith, is that God's got all this in control. He is sending into my life. If I will go through those things in the way that he wants me to, they're going to be for the best. You know, Job understood some things about what comes into his life. You know, Job is a person that could have thrown in the towel. His wife told him to. She said, why don't you just curse God and die? But you know what? Job, I believe, had a shield of faith. I look in a couple verses. In the 23rd chapter of Job, 23 and 8. Behold, I go forward, he's not there, backward, but I cannot perceive him, on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. You know, this is where faith takes a hold. I don't see it, I don't feel it, but I know it. I know he's still there. And when he has looked in all these places where God used to answer his prayers, he used to could meet up with God, and now it doesn't seem to be happening. He didn't throw in the towel. He said, he knows the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I'll come forth as gold. You know, we talk about that pearl being formed. I believe you could see this happening in Job's life. This thing came into his life and it worked some things. I love it how Job handled himself in the first and second chapter.
Yes.
He just came out of it. Well, God himself testified of Job. He's a perfect and an upright man. He fears God and he eschews evil. But you know what? Job had some things that God wanted to perfect himself.
Yes.
And you know how he brought that about? He sent him some friends. And those friends, they sat with him for 7 days and did not say a word. That's some friends right there. They're feeling your grief. But you know what's happening during those 7 days? They're processing some information in their own head. And when they get ready to speak, they spoke. And they said, you know what? I've never seen a person suffer like this unless he's got some sin in his life. What is it, Job? Tell us what your problem is. Boy, don't you know that would be a tough thing to take? This would be some of these places where I'm going forward, backward, can't perceive him, but he knows the way I take, and he just held steady. And then there's another verse over in Job 19 and 25. Here's some things I know. You know, there's a lot of things Job didn't know about that time. But here's one thing he did know. I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Cast not away your confidence, because it has a great recompense, a reward. What is the value of a shield when the enemy is present? I was thinking today of the story of David and Goliath. Were there only two people at that battle?
No.
There was somebody else. There was another one that should have been able to save Goliath's life. What was he? He was the armor bearer. He was Goliath's armor bearer. And his purpose was, you know, you think of armor bearer, well, no, Goliath had the armor on already. Have you ever read about the armor that Goliath was wearing? It tells, we don't understand the weight measurements that it was telling about, but they converted it over. And they said the armor that he was wearing, they figure, weighed 270 pounds. All of the things that he had put on. Now, you know, I know for myself, if you could just get me pushed over, I'm not going to get up very easy. But you add another 270 pounds, somebody's going to have to come help for me to get up. But you know what? He had that much protection on himself because he never planned to fall. He did not plan for somebody to have to get him up. Because he had along with him another man that carried the shield. And that shield is for defense. He had a spear for offense. But that shield was to protect him. I can about see, what was this man doing when David started winding up the sling? Where was he? I can about see him leaning on the shield laughing. Look at this boy right here. We're fixing to take care of him in just a little bit. He wasn't holding the shield, that's for sure. And I think of this, the value of a shield, if we use it properly. And we also don't hear anything about this man when Goliath fell. He wasn't there to try to help him up. I think he melted back into the army as fast as he could go back to the Philistines. Because we just see this little glimpse. He was there. He should have been able to protect Goliath, but he wasn't prepared for it. There's a warning for us. Because you know, Goliath said, I am prepared for this. No matter what you hit me with, I'm covered.
Yes.
Except for this little bitty spot that God saw the rock needed to go.
Yes.
There's a warning for us sometimes. You know, we can feel like I'm going through life. I am spiritual. I can handle any problem that comes to me. And I need to be warned a little bit. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Just a little warning for us. There's a song that we sing sometimes. Stand up for Jesus. But then it goes on, it says, stand in his strength alone. Don't try to do it in our own. Stand in his strength alone. It says, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. What's the song we sing? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. The arm of flesh is going to fail you. You know, a lot of times we will talk about where it says in Jeremiah 17 and 5, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. You know, a lot of times we'll think about that if we're putting our trust in the medical field. You know what? That goes so much farther than that. I can trust in man, and it could be myself. I've stacked up a little bit of money. I'm ready for any adversity that can come my way. You know how quick the Lord can send an adversity that eats up any little savings account you got? That's why it tells us, don't put any of your confidence in man, others, or myself, but to realize God's the one that will help us through any difficulty that we have. Because it also goes right on past that and says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. And I am thankful for that. This one says, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer, where calls the voice of duty, be never wanting there. The next verse says, stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day, the noise of battle. The next, the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. You know, a lot of these songs end up with, if you'll be faithful over here, the thing that Sister Maxine has been talking to us for a couple weeks now is waiting for us all over there. A crown of life shall be. He with the King of Glory shall reign eternally. Jesus gave us just a little piece of instruction in Mark 11 and 22. Four words, have faith in God. In a time when we can put a lot of confidence in a lot of things, may I put my faith in God. He's able to help us the shield of faith. It'll withstand the fiery darts. Have you had any fiery darts thrown at you? You ever have a difficult time that you're going through, and all of a sudden this little voice speaks to you, if God loved you? That could be a fiery dart.
Yes.
But you know what it says? It's a shield of faith that will protect us from that. You know, this thing is in God's hands, no matter what problem we're going through. And God can help us with that. Remember the instruction he gives us in Luke 18? It says there was a widow that had a need, and she went to a judge that happened to be the unjust judge. And he would not help her out. But I can about see her. In fact, I heard a children's story depicting that. And she was just as pleasant a person sounding on this story as you could find. And she just, when he said, no, you need to leave, I'm not going to answer that. And she said, okay, thank you, Judge, I'll see you tomorrow. And tomorrow she did. She's back again. You remember that one? It says, after a while, he said, you know, I don't even fear God or man. But I tell you what, I'm getting tired of this lady here. I'm going to give her what she needs because she keeps coming back. And you know what he tells us? It wasn't that I gave you this story, but don't you be bothering me like that. I think what he was saying in that story is, I want to encourage you. When you have a problem, you just keep coming on back to me again with your problem. And then he ends it with one more instruction. When the Son of Man comes, is he going to find faith on the earth? Well, I can try to look around the world over and decide who else has faith in God. But I tell you what, I want to build my shield of faith.
Yes.
What am I building it for? To keep me safe from you? Nope. The devil will come in. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And I think our confidence in God is a great part of that. So where this, in this letter to Hebrews, those folks that were getting so much trouble coming in their life because they had become a Christian, and he's letting them know, don't throw away your confidence in God. It's got a great recompense, a reward. You know, that's not just in eternity. It has a great value for us here today. Sister Maxine talked this morning about the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hid in a field. You know, whatever he would have dug up in that just little piece of ground that made him realize this thing is valuable,
yes,
he was going to put out some more effort because he believes there's more to be found. I just keep thinking of Brother Marty with a meeting that he held here a few years ago. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. He said it's not just one well. There are a lot of wells. It's going to take some effort to pull it up.
Yes.
But it's going to be well worth it in the end. None of us know tomorrow what will come our way. But I tell you what, above all, take the shield of faith.
Yes.
Build our confidence in God. Because we can say, well, why would the devil come and tempt me with, does God care for you? You know, he came to Jesus himself to try it on him. There when he talked to him and said, if you are the Son of God, then let's see these things happen. You know, Jesus had to deal with it himself.
Yeah.
But he returned with some scripture. We can return to the devil also with scripture, with a confidence in God. I would like for us to close with a song. Number 223. You know, many of our songs that we sing is a song of determination. And yet, you know what? We realize when we sing these songs, I'm not doing it on my own. What does it say? The arm of flesh will fail you. If I try to do spiritual advancements on my own, I'm going to come up short. But what I can do is to realize, you know what? What does it say? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But then Paul got a hold to it and said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I am thankful for that. God has a huge part that he plays in us making heaven our home. We still have a part to play. Part of it is that determination. This song, number 223, I mean to go right on.
Yes.
Until the crown is won. You know, so many of these, maybe this song right here doesn't talk about heaven, doesn't have a title about heaven, but you know what? It's all about heaven.
Yes.
He's got all these things. Should opposition come, what's he doing? I've got a goal out here ahead that I'm working toward, and it's making heaven my home. I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. You know what? There's been some more spiritual people than me that said, I'll never more turn back.
That's true.
It's good to have this determination. I'm not going back. But also remember, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The only way I will be able to say that is if I keep my hand in the Lord's and go through the adverse times that come to me.
Yes.
I can have victory in the end. I do still need to have this determination. I'll never more turn back. Defeat I shall not know. Makes me think of that verse. A just man can fall 7 times and he rises again. That doesn't mean he's just going around sinning a lot in his life. It says he can have troubles come into his life real often, like Job did. But when it hits him, you can expect it. He's going to get up on the other side of it, still headed for heaven. The adverse times that came to Christian in Pilgrim's Progress,
yes.
We can take a look at some of those and say he should have known better than to get caught up in this slough of despond. You know how quick we can get caught up in it too when we have troubles come our way and depressing thoughts come to us. But what I like about him is when he came out of it, he was on the celestial city side of it.
Yes.
May we always have it. Lord, my determination is I'm going to heaven by your help. So send to me those things that are necessary for me to be able to make it. I'm going on unto the final triumph. The last fight that has been won and the last victory that has been won from that. I want to make heaven my home. I am thankful for the messages that we're hearing. I want them to make, what does it say? Pilgrim of Jesus, oh, lift up thy head.
Yes.
Ask and thy strength he'll renew. And while in the footprints of Jesus you tread, don't let it get you down. Ever keep heaven in view.
Yes.
It's going to be worth it.